Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Thanks for playing that out of context, Aaron. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. The first part was out of context, not the rocket stuff. 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed. Should be at Aaron is a dickweed. At Degenerates 975, you can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and look for ESPN975, and you're good to go. You can listen to us on Alexa if you want. There's all kinds of places you can listen. And no matter how you're listening, thanks a lot for tuning in. And anything you miss is available on PodcastArena.com. Couple things that I wanted to get to. I got a text says, Martin Scorsese, movie should teach you something. Fred, Concussion, who the bleep would want to see that? I kind of think I love Martin Scorsese. But, boy, he's kind of lost it. You see a couple weeks ago he went off on the Marvel movies. And, you know, no offense, but what is Casino teaching me?
I don't know.
I mean, I go to the movies to be entertained. I watch documentaries to learn something.
Yeah.
And I go to the movies to be entertained. And I'm entertained by his movies. But it's not like I'm getting some great message from them on humanity. Other than, you know, well, in the end, usually all the bad guys shoot each other.
Yeah.
That's a Departed. But... what great lesson am I taking from those? And movies are just like this. It's just like what we do. People should be entertained. If they're not entertained, I mean, that's all that matters. I don't care about the Fast and Furious movies, but people love those. They go and see cars and racing and, you know, bald Vin Diesel, and they enjoy it. That, who am I to question that? So
whatever people are into.
Yeah, man. It's like, if you're into wrestling, whatever you're into, enjoy it. If that entertains you, then okay. I got no problem with it.
LFG Astros, we're in a debate on whether or not Matt Ryan is still a top 12 quarterback in the league.
Yeah, so give me the quarterbacks that he/she or whatever
put in. It's a dude.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Russell Wilson.
Okay, I have no problem with that.
I agree. Deshaun Watson. I think he's having a better season, certainly.
Yeah, I'll reluctantly give you that right now because I think up arrow next to Watson and sideways arrow next to Ryan.
Yeah. And again, if this is a list of guys who play on better teams than the Falcons, it's a pretty good list.
Well,
the Falcons are horrible.
There's probably 30 guys in that case.
Patrick Mahomes, agree.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, disagree wholeheartedly that Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, again, having a great season, I still don't think he's a better quarterback than Matt Ryan today.
You know, I'm not sure I can put Deshaun over him either, just body of work. Ryan had an MVP season. I mean,
yeah, and went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacoby Brissett, again, having a great season. Do I think the Colts would trade him for Matt Ryan tomorrow?
So what have I got? I've got two guys so far that I do for sure.
Russell Wilson and Mahomes,
certainly.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, yes. Dak Prescott?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Jared Goff?
I'll give you that one.
I don't know that I would. You'd rather have Jared Goff than Matt Ryan?
I mean, they both made it to one Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Ryan, again, better body of work, so no. Okay, we're still at three.
And just better physical tools to me, Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt Ryan's older, certainly, but Drew Brees, body of work, it's not debatable.
Well, yeah, that's easy Drew Brees over him.
Teddy Bridgewater?
Not fail.
Teddy Bridgewater's a backup quarterback in the league. Do you really think the Saints would prefer Bridgewater over Matt Ryan?
No.
Come on, man. Kirk Cousins?
No.
Kirk Cousins having a really good season.
He's having a really good October is what he's having.
That's true.
He didn't start off very well.
Carson Wentz?
No. I'm not quite ready to put him there yet.
Phillip Rivers?
I
think if you're looking at the decline of Matt Ryan, it kind of parallels Phillip Rivers. I don't know.
Rivers has done it longer. I'll give you Rivers.
Okay.
That's five.
I mean, Ryan's made it to a Super Bowl. Rivers hadn't done that.
No, but he's also had a better overall career. I'll take Rivers. Yeah. Five.
Brady. Okay.
Of course, six. That's six.
I mean, I think Matt Ryan's still a top 10 quarterback. Do I think the Falcons suck with or without Matt Ryan? 100% yes.
I think he's a back end of the top 10 because there's a couple of those guys that I could make a case for.
Well, and this year, Lamar Jackson's having a better season than him. Jacoby Brissett, Deshaun Watson, those guys are having better seasons than him. Does that mean they're better players than him? I don't know.
Well, I think with some of the young guys, you just don't know yet. I don't know if Watson's going to be better. I think he's going to be better.
Jimmy Garoppolo's not even having a better season than Matt Ryan. He just plays on a much better team. Look at the numbers that Matt Ryan put up when Kyle Shanahan was his coach, and look at the numbers Garoppolo's putting up with Kyle Shanahan as his coach. It's not comparable.
Yeah,
Matt Ryan's still, he's a 71% passer this year. And you can say he's got, and he's second in the league in yards behind Mahomes, tied for the most touchdown passes in the league. And you can say a lot of those are junk stats, and you'd be right.
Yeah.
But when he's thrown the second most passes in the league behind Andy Dalton, and he's completed 71% of them. Bad quarterbacks don't throw more than everybody and still complete 71% of their passes. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I just the team is so bad here that this year that's the problem. I honestly, there's other quarterbacks I prefer to have, but not those guys you mentioned.
Yeah,
and even as bad as they've been, he's still got a 15-8 touchdown interception ratio, still almost 2-1.
Yep,
in a 1-6 team. So I do need to check and see how many fumbles he's had this year. That's one of those that, I can't find that. But I always count those into turnovers. But yeah, I respectfully disagree with the tweeter or texter or whatever that was. So,
all right, I got to tell you about Carbach. That's one thing you and I agree on, certainly. And guess what's coming up out at Carbach? Foam Hinge, November 10th. Man, that's coming up in a hurry. It's like 3 weeks from now. Maybe even less than that. If my math, 2 weeks from now. It's going to be a party. Ace Frehley, the headliner, Accept, High on Fire, Power Trip, Pat Travers Band, Narcotic Wasteland. Third annual Carbach. It's going to be a fantastic time. Free parking, $5 craft beer. Children under 12 get in free. Tickets are just $28, or you can get VIP tickets for $100. That's got an optimal view area, VIP entrance, indoor restrooms, three beers of your choice, access to some special Carbach tappings, a buffet by the restaurant, and a commemorative T-shirt. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your hands on tickets today. And when you're out and about this weekend, you know what to do. Always ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. That music means it's almost time for R.J. Bell and company. And
Is he still talking?
Yeah, I want to know what goes on in these...
We pushed the thing back 15 minutes? He's still...
I want to know what's going on in these post-show meetings.
I think he's trying to push us out altogether. He doesn't want to work with us anymore.
Well, that's a shame.
About 30 seconds ago, Brad said, hey, give me 60 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Well, I can feel the love is gone.
Yeah. It's definitely dying.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we've done all we can in this relationship.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And just like one of my marriages, it just in the end, it just gets stale and old and... That's the end of it. So, all of my marriages. Ah, okay. So, joining us now, along with some friends, most likely, is the founder of pregame.com. Pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
And the leader of our NFL handicapping contest.
And the all around genius that is RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
You know, I am going to accept that as a fair intro. Thank you so much. The truth is always profound.
It really is.
Is what I like to say.
How are you guys holding up in the Super Contest Gold? How's it going this year?
Well, we went. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster. If a roller coaster was always above 60%, but it has kind of swung. where we were up about 68-69%. We had a 5-0, then a 1-4. And you think, well, they're in trouble. No, no, no. 4-1 the next week. Okay. But then last week, 2-3. And the real problem, the one I really am chagrined about, because I like the Giants. I can go back and act like I should have seen something. Nah, shouldn't have seen anything. I like the Giants. We also had the Bears. Now, a lot of people would say, I wouldn't say, but a lot of people would say, Fezzik's best bet was the Bears, right? On Straight Out of Vegas. So you had to have the, I'm not saying that, but you know, we'll let everyone decide. But we had the bet. No, actually, on Friday night, Fez was getting kind of anti-Bears. And I looked at it, and it was either the Bears or the Colts last week. And you might remember that Colts game. And I started looking at DVOA, and Houston's DVOA entering that game last week was amazing. It was like a different universe compared to the Colts. So I felt like that Colts game and that Bears game was very analogous, where it was a team that seemed to be inferior in a way that was in a great spot. Colts off a bye, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then you had the other team not in a great spot. I thought the Saints were going to be happy at 4-1. No, apparently not. So that was a bad one. But boy, the thing that killed us, Washington. Don't bet on a big favorite in a monsoon. Oh, I mean, think in 30-some years of this, I would have figured that one out. But we didn't even know the weather, did we, Steve?
We did not. That was,
because I know you didn't tell it to me Friday night.
It was not until game day that the forecast really turned bad. We saw the total then go ahead and drop from 40 and a half to 38
and a half. But you're saying the total really didn't even drop that much, considering how bad the weather was.
Yeah, it dropped 2 points on game day. It should have dropped 14 to 17 points.
That's what we were saying, is if you replayed that game in a time machine, what total would you have put on it to split the result? So half the time it would go over.
Are you asking me?
49ers, Washington. I'm asking you guys, because we had this discussion.
Oh, I mean, God, probably 24? 23, I mean, I can't imagine people would know it. I mean, if you knew the weather, if you saw what the weather was like, 24 probably seems about right.
I think, Fez, you came up with 28, didn't you?
Yes, and part of that was just because the second half, after a horrible first half, everyone saw that the second half total was still 16.5.
Which tells me that the cockroachy bookies are dumb. But, I mean, let's be honest. Here's something people don't realize. There's the A team, there's the B team, there's the C team. So, Fez, give me an example of how you've attempted historically to exploit the entry-level workers that you... You know, that is interesting. I wonder how many people he got fired and booted from the industry. Oh. How did you approach this, and how do you approach it?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
You don't really?
No.
The question is that there's times when you got the C team in the sports book, and you know something. The A team would certainly change this and this. That's, let's say, one step removed from being obvious to some news event. An example would be when Andrew Luck retired on that Saturday night. No, they took down the Colts' win total, but did they take the division odds down for the AFC Central? Did they take the win total down for the other three teams in the division? That's the thing. And give us an example.
Yeah, so now
the brilliant fellow finally understands something he innovated. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the Colts, will they make the playoffs? Yes or no? You could go ahead and bet no and get a nice fat plus 180. You could bet a situation, who's going to win more games, the Colts or the Baltimore Ravens? They got the Ravens plus 1.5.
So you're saying there's this pool of betting that probably has gotten 4 bets in the last 3 days, and the idea that pimply-faced kid that may or may not have a job after you get done picking the bones clean, that, so ultimately the question is, do you ever stop and think about that kid?
No, it's his job to get this right. He's got to be aware when there's a monsoon and the totals drop, and he's got to drop the team totals on the 49ers and on the Redskins.
RJ,
if he doesn't, we're going to play him under.
You're either a shark or a guppy. And listen, Fezzik's a shark. We all know that.
Well, yeah, apex predator. But here's what I'll say. I could have taken his vocal tone, the way his face was moving, and put like an Iranian, I don't know what language they speak in Iran. I'm assuming it's some Iranian this or that, and saying, and then when they steal the first time, the hand comes off. You've got to teach. Like, it was exactly the same. It was like cut off their hand when they shoplift, and they won't forget.
Yep.
Kind of like that, Fez, right?
Exactly right. If they don't need to know that they need to adjust, is there going to be a touchdown or a field goal scored first in a monsoon, the field goal becomes much more likely.
Oh, imagine wrestling with Fads. Right. I mean, I don't like the bookies, but I feel sorry for them sometimes.
Well, let's get into our bets, because at the end, I want to ask you about a little bit of baseball, since we do have the Astros in the World Series here. Fezzik, you get to go first this week. Again, you're bringing up the rear, 2-4. You did get a win last time out, although you and Brad took the week off last week, which is unlike you. But what do you have for us this week, Fezzik?
Whoa. They didn't take the week off. Let's give the boys
what happened. The week off.
Exactly. You had a little baseball game on.
A little game.
And then somehow, and here's what's funny. I remember telling my wife, Mary, I said, you know, we're recording this early. You're going to shoehorn it in the 4 o'clock hour. I think it's going to be like 18 minutes. You know, when I did Colin all those years, it was six minutes. A nice, luxurious hit like I do now on a Gottlieb or something, 11 minutes or so. I look at the clock, 38 minutes we were on the line breaking the games down last. It was a great – I mean, Fez and Brad weren't trying to jibber-jabber. It was really a good hit, I thought.
It was a fantastic segment, and we had to break it into two. We actually did have to shoehorn a commercial break in. And now back to RJ Bell, but we'll roll through today. Fezzik, you get first crack at it, my man. What's your favorite play this week?
We're going to roll with the Tampa Bay Bucks plus the 2.5 against the Tennessee Titans. It's all about strength of schedule. Tampa Bay, by my calculations, has played the second hardest strength of schedule.
Hold on, is this your calculations or is this something that you got from the USA Today?
No, it's something I had my guy run. I mean, so I've got my analyst. Analyst produces this for me.
But is it a proprietary formula, or you just don't know enough to go to Football Outsiders?
Or is it just opponent winning percentage?
It's just the opponent's winning percentage.
That is a unique formula.
So patented. Tampa Bay's got the second hardest strength of schedule year to date. Tennessee, the 29th hardest strength of schedule. So one of the five easiest schedules. Well, given that Tampa Bay's played so many more difficult teams like Carolina twice, San Francisco, Rams, New Orleans, you would certainly expect that Tampa Bay's underlying stats are going to be a lot worse than the Tennessee Titans. But they're not. In terms of a yards per play differential, Tampa Bay is right at zero. They've gained the same as their opponents, and it's Tennessee that actually has a negative differential. So I'll make the case that Tampa Bay is the better team, and they're playing in a stadium here with only a 2-point home field advantage for the Titans. I will take Tampa Bay plus 2.5. And also, it's a good spot for Tampa Bay. They're a team that's off of a bye playing on the road. Mackenzie Rivers, analyst here at pregame, went ahead and ran some numbers. And as it turns out, if you blindly bet a team off a bye playing on the road since 2000, 56% against the spread.
Fred damn near flipped the table over when you picked Tampa. I think that was his pick, so I think it's met with approval here.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the question I've got. Is we have a rule on Straight Out of Vegas on all of our broadcasting platforms, is anytime someone says anything, you can bet them if it's a factual matter. And we have three green buttons, and they make that sound. So Fez had Tampa Bay early in the week. I listened to it, and I said, that seems mighty thin. I said, but hey, it's Tuesday, it's whatever. Today, I listened closely, as I tend to do. He had added nothing to it. So I thought, well, he couldn't find anything else, right? So I did green button it on SOV. Fez, can I green button it again?
Sure.
Does that mean it won't make your super contest card?
Oh, no chance.
Well, can I give some new information on it?
Yes, because please.
Have you seen have you seen their schedule? Because the last time they played in Tampa was September 22nd. Then they flew all the way out to Los Angeles to play the Rams. They go back to Tampa, then Tampa to New Orleans, then back to Tampa, then Tampa to London. Now they get a week off and get to go to Tennessee. I mean, they had a tough travel schedule before all that, and still played pretty well in some of those games. That's another reason why I like him. So there's your new information.
I guess what's
no, what, no. I oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only thing that scares me about this pick is we always talk about turnover being a lot of luck. With Tampa, it feels like they turn over the ball a lot, and it's not luck. It's Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is just a turnover monster, and that's what scares me about Tampa, because if he has one of those days where he just decides to throw four picks, this pick has zero chance of winning.
This is, to me, what we do, the back of the napkin, quick and dirty. We consider turnovers to be all luck, except we weight 50% of interceptions thrown as skill. So if you look at a differential between two teams, if it's, let's say, six interceptions, you would say, all right, assume it's a three interception difference, the rest is luck. Winston proves the folly of acting like it's all luck. And oh, by the way, how did Ryan Tannehill look last week?
Real good.
Mm-hmm. And to me, if you're Tennessee with a defense that hasn't given up over 20 points,
yep,
the entire year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And now you've got a quarterback, let's be candid, in his heyday with Gase, who in hindsight, now that might have been a hindrance, we'll see. Tannehill was what, 12th, 11th, 13th best quarterback in football? When he was healthy, right or wrong?
Right around 14, I think, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So, correct, yes. So, to me, if you put the 14th best quarterback in football, and I'm not saying he is, but is he so old that he can't be? He's not even 30 yet, is he?
No.
So why couldn't Tannehill be as good as he was when he was? Now, he might get injured. I don't want to bet Tennessee to win, you know, the division or any of these longer bets. But for this game, odds are he won't get hurt.
He is 31.
He's just 31. Yeah. But still, he's not dropping off. Yeah. If anything, 31's probably better to be than 28. Where maturity, you're still physically not dropped off at all.
Yep.
Right? You could still, Usain Bolt was winning 100 meters at 31. So I think it's a horrible time to bet against Tennessee. And oh, by the way, Winston's a head case. Who are we kidding? He just had the worst game of his career interception-wise. Is that the game to play him on? Nah.
All right, that's Steve Fezzik's best bet. Brad, what do you say? You going to the college race for us?
Yeah, I'm going college. I'm going Washington State plus the 14. And let's talk series here, where Washington State has dominated Oregon. 9 times they played each other. The last 9, Washington State 9-0 against the spread. More impressive, the cover margin, 16 points per game, and almost all of them are these 10, 14, 21-point variety. And keep in mind, 7 of them have come under Mike Leach. What does Mike Leach have? A quirky offense. So anytime you got like a quirky style of play, offense is included, obviously, and a team is continuously, year after year, struggling against it, I think we have something here. On top of it, I like that Washington State's the big dog catching 2 touchdowns, because let's face it, say this play isn't going well for us. Say Washington State's down 21 in the fourth quarter. What other team in the entire country would you rather have down in that situation? Because you know Washington State's going to continue to be aggressive, throw the football on every single play. Add it all up, I'm on Washington State plus 14.
Yeah, it feels like they've dominated that series, at least against the spread, going back quite a long ways now. Fred, you are up next, my man. I know that Fezzik stole from you. What do you have in store?
That's okay, because I had a backup and another backup, because I actually love 3 games this week. I'm going to take the Panthers plus 5.5 at San Francisco for a lot of the reasons that we talked about why I like the Bucks. I think the 49ers overvalued.
RJ's going to hate this, by the way.
You know, he always does. Doesn't matter. He might actually secretly love it.
Doesn't matter? No. Come on now.
Yeah. RJ is 5-1. No, it doesn't matter what I pick, you're going to dislike it. I could be on the other side.
It's funny because I am going to say I think Carolina might be the sharpest game on the board, meaning I'm not sure it's the best pick, but you have to squint to see it, and once you do, it's a hell of a case. I want to hear it, though, from Fred.
No, for one thing, since I've put Kyle Allen in at quarterback, he's not great. Newton was a negative. I think the 49ers look at their schedule and who they've played. I think they're way overvalued right now. And by the way, the Panthers game travels pretty well. Came in here and beat Houston. They went to London and won. I like the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, that London game, somehow Fred was able, you know, this is what's confusing, though. When he made the case for Tampa, he was acting like Tampa in London was a distressed team. But now we're giving Carolina credit for that London win against Tampa.
No, the five turnovers is one reason I like Tampa. I don't think he's turned the ball over five times again. But
real quick, Fez, here in Vegas, is do you like Brad's Washington State pick?
I actually don't.
Really? Why is that?
Just from a pure power ratings perspective, I didn't.
But you know, there is something to consider, though.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to come right in the back door here.
So I mean, that's an option too.
Well, I don't want to get backdoored, so I'm not going to push the green button.
All right,
I don't want to step on that. I'm just laughing at this point. You guys take it from here.
I'll go with mine next. I am at least the closest to RJ. Still ways back, but I'll go with, and RJ, I think you'll be glad to hear this, because typically I'm hard on the Houston Texans. I think this is a home run spot for the Texans. I think that the Texans thrive against teams that don't have a good pass rush. That's why when we saw the Texans play the Falcons and the Chiefs in back-to-back games, Deshaun Watson had these career games where he's just putting up cartoon numbers, took no sacks because he had all the time in the world. And Roderick Johnson back to a limited participant, so they will have a right tackle. Not that the Raiders have a pass rush to beat a backup right tackle anyway. I just think that he's got all the time that he's going to need, and when Deshaun's got time, he kills bad defenses. I think that's what happens here. The Raiders, on the other hand, they're a run-first team. You don't want to be a run-first team against the Texans. The way to beat the Texans, beat them through their secondary, which is horrible. So if you're telling me I've got Deshaun Watson and they've got Derek Carr, I'm going to take the Texans, give 6.5.
Now, we had talked about this, though. The other tackles, and when I say we had talked about it a couple weeks ago, Howard was ranked number second or third in the advanced ESPN metrics for pass protection from tackles. So as you guys kind of eye test, now and I'm saying this sincerely because I don't. Do either of you guys watch the All-22?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so what's your sense, and I guess at line play maybe, I guess you still need it, is what's your sense of how important Howard is?
I think he's important, but they do have versatility on the line. And as long as Roderick Johnson is out there, I think he's serviceable. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's great. But Titus Howard's still a rookie. I mean, was he playing well? He certainly was. But again, Titus Howard, by the time he made it out to right tackle, was playing against teams like the Falcons and the Chiefs, who really don't have a pass rush. And again, the Raiders don't really have a pass rush. I don't know that Titus Howard would look significantly, you know, better against teams that did have a strong pass rush. I don't know that he would be there, because we didn't really see him play against those teams.
You know something?
Did you just press the button on me?
I'm not. Oh, you know, my bag's on the table, and I think I leaned on it. So I don't know what I bet there, but there's some action going on. I don't know if I agree with you, though, and I don't know if we can resolve it here. The following is all I'm saying, is that a backup tackle is better than a second tier or third tier, whatever we want to call the Raiders pass rush. I think if you have just in general starters that are 25th out of 32, let's say, for pass rush versus backup tackles, and I know there's one in there now, I think the pass rush wins that matchup.
I'd agree with that.
Right? I'm not sure I know, but AJ's kind of saying it as if it's like proven that the Raiders are so bad, even a backup's going to be able to back them. Do you feel strongly about that, AJ, or it was just the way you were saying, loosely saying things?
No, I'm generally saying that the Raiders do not have a good pass rush. I don't think that one guy necessarily negates what this offensive line has been able to do. Because honestly, the offensive line looked pretty decent last week. They only allowed two sacks against the Colts, which two sacks in this town is that's a good day.
It was three, actually.
Oh, it was three?
Yeah.
Okay. But I just think if they give two sacks, the Raiders do, the Texans still eat. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be enough. Like I don't think Titus Howard is worth several points. I can't imagine that that's the case.
No. I agree there. By the way, I forget, what is the logic of the lines here? Meaning, what's the source?
The logic of the what?
The spreads, the lines.
What do you mean, what is the logic of them?
Are you laying 6.5 or are you laying 7?
6.5.
Okay, where did you get that from?
Your website.
Okay, so are you just scanning to see if a number's available, or are we picking Pinnacle? Like, how are we doing this? Is the logic again?
It says current six minus 6.5 minus 15.
Okay, that's good. So what you're saying is we do have the kind of the consensus opinion. We'll just use the consensus at pregame at the time the picks made. No, I just want a system. That's all.
Okay, yeah. So. When we have a segment with you, we always go with whatever the current line is on the game center at pregame.
Now, what's fascinating, though, I think I mentioned this, so I'll say it real quickly, is when I had that $5,000 challenge in New York, is they were using the paper New York Post lines, and they actually don't attribute us, but they use our lines from the AP. So if I knew who he was going to – we were coming down the stretch last year tied, I could have screwed with his lines. It would have changed all of New York City's perception, but still.
No big deal. You're trying to win. That's a
Fez. Exactly.
That's
what Fez would have done.
All right, RJ, the champion, the leader in the clubhouse. What's your choice? Oh, we got theme music.
Okay, I'm RJ Bow leading the contest.
I think I know your pick.
What is it?
I think you're taking Colts.
I actually like the Colts. It just feels a little square to me.
Okay.
But I actually like the Colts. That's probably my third or fourth pick. I am taking, and I think it should be 3.5. Brad, you want to check that? Four?
Four. And there's even a couple 4.5s on the screen.
But remember now, we're only talking the consensus of pregame is what?
Four and a half.
Woo! Okay, so look at it now.
The Chiefs?
Is that the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
I love that pick.
You must not have loved it as much as Tampa Bay or Carolina.
Well, that was the other one. I said I had two other ones I like. Carolina and Kansas City was the other one.
He has been touting Chiefs all week, too.
Yeah.
All right. Then see, Fred Sharp, there's a reason he's at pregame.com. Let's be candid. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Fez gets a lot of credit for this because he saw clearly that Mahomes, if you just did the math, the look-ahead line, if you did the look-ahead line against where the line was midweek or so, so in this game against Green Bay, it looks like about 8 points. Fez says he's worth about 8 points. I agree. The most valuable player in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. That sounds right to me. All right, 8 points sounds right to me. Now, what was Mahomes being discounted coming in to that Denver game? And also, by extension, what was the public or the market perception of him for the look-ahead line this game that we're using as the gauge? 2.5 to 3 points was the downgrade. I mean, you just looked at it, and the lines were off by about that much. Hey, he's hurt. Oh, Detroit, they lost against Detroit, or they almost lost against Detroit. They got beat against the Colts. Oh, my gosh, they got beat against Houston. Then, so I guess Houston would have been the game before, right? So then it was Denver.
Yep.
We all know he wasn't 100% in Houston. We all know the line of Kansas City only 3 at Denver? I mean, you want to talk about Mahomes being discounted. You add back in 2.5 to 3 points, it gets up to like 11 points of adjustment.
Yeah, and I think
he's not worth that much.
I think something else to add to that handicap is...
wasn't done.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Andy Reid off the bye.
Well,
it's not
week.
A bye. That's what I'm saying. It's not a buy, but it's a half a buy.
Yeah.
Right? So you know he's putting the extra – I mean, he's probably drinking full sugar Mountain Dews like they're going out of style. And I think he's going to come in, at least for game one, really strong. And I don't like Green Bay. Here's the mystery of mysteries. No one's been able to answer this. Some people think Green Bay is the fourth or fifth best team in football. Fez, where do you got them?
Number 5.
All right, some people, Fez is one of them. How in the heck is the fifth best team in football laying 5 points when they have a 4-point home field against the Raiders? This Raiders team, we just spent 10 minutes talking how bad they are. That is incomprehensible. About the same level of incomprehensibleness than Detroit being only 3.5-point dogs at Green Bay, which implies Detroit's better than Green Bay.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You know what it does? Is the market is... we could say, oh, it was the receivers. Okay, well, when the receivers were announced in, what happened to the line, Fez? Nothing. Nothing.
It went up minuscule amount. Nothing.
Not
the minimus. The minimus amount.
Ooh. All right, so to me, the market is telling us we don't like Green Bay. We don't like Green Bay. Well, you know something? If you bet $1 million a game, I take you pretty seriously. It's not quite the green button, but I've got at 4.5, baby. Half points is how you win this thing, AJ. I've got Kansas City.
Well, I also think that when you talk about Kansas City's home field, one of the other strong, really strong home fields in the league is Green Bay. And the reason their home field is so strong is because they're typically not nearly as good on the road. And you talk about
500 Aaron Rodgers in his career. And oh, by the way, Green Bay's played the most home games of any team this year, 5 of them.
So you take a strong home team, bad road team, and put them in another strong home environment like Kansas City, I think you're getting even extra points. I'm with you on this pick. I like Kansas City a lot. And when people were asking me earlier in the week, well, what if is that with Mahomes or more? And honestly, I kept saying, I hope they just announced that Mahomes isn't playing so the number gets juiced up. Because I really think with Matt Moore, I think 4.5, you're getting some really good value.
I agree, and I appreciate it, guy. And I think we can always agree every week. We might disagree about this or that, but my pick is good. Yeah, I think pretty much every week.
It's been pretty strong. just a quick question.
Hey, I apologize. I apologize, guys. I got the boys can stay, but I got Vegas ESPN like in 15 seconds.
Okay.
So I'm jumping off. I apologize, and let the boys wrap up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk next week, RJ. Fezzik, or Brad, I'm sure you guys have been talking some baseball. What does Vegas think about the Astros' chance to come back in this series now, down 2-0?
Well, the odds are such that it's definitely against them. Washington, last I looked, was a -260 favorite to win this series, and that makes sense. You got to win 4 out of 5 for Houston to come back. However, the money's all been on Houston here. Game 3, I know it opened -120, and Greinke and company are currently -145. So that's saying the Astros are supposed to win just about 58% of the time tonight, and they better win, or this series it's going to be awfully difficult to come back from an 0-3 hole.
All right. Well, guys, fun as always. Appreciate the time, and look forward to some winning this weekend.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks for having us.
All right. See you guys. Okay. You want to find a place where you can make all those plays? How about mybookie.ag? So you've just heard us go over everything that we like. Mybookie.ag. Nobody pays out faster. And when you win, you get paid. That's the best thing about it. There's a lot of these sites. You win, kind of iffy. Not mybookie. You get paid. And not only that, if you want to get in on the game tonight and you don't get home until, say, 8 o'clock, and I've already been playing a few innings, they've got in-game betting. You can do it. You can jump in and bet it then. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. They've also got all kinds of other deposit options for you. You just have to use promo code RADIO to get that exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. And so many games this weekend to get in on. And if you're already on MyBookie, well, guess what? They've got all kinds of reload bonuses and things like that. Just check your email. It's always going to be right there. Promo code RADIO, MyBookie.ag. Promo code RADIO. Play, win, get paid. That's my bookie.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right. Let's knock out stupid stuff real quick. Oh, there's no stupid stuff. Okay. Then we'll just talk Astros here.
Final thoughts? Or will we be talking Astros on Monday?
Well, yeah, percent 1,000 we'll be talking about them.
Okay, we'll be talking about Game 6.
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I think they win tonight.
And then they lose the next two?
Yeah.
They lose 2 Garrett Cole starts?
Could happen. No, I hope we're talking about a Game 6. I really do. I feel like if they win tonight and do it convincingly, then it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. You start poking holes in the confidence and the freewheeling and the way that the Nationals are playing, and they start doubting themselves. And if you get it to 2-2, then suddenly I think all the pressure flips back over to the Nationals.
If they win tonight, then I think they're like, I mean, we're talking slight dog, like 45%.
Yeah.
If they lose tonight, it's 95%.
Yeah, they're done. They're done if they lose tonight. I'm not even going to give them 5%. If they lose tonight, it's over. I mean, it's happened one time in history, and it's never happened in the World Series. And as good as this team is, they're not good enough to do that.
Yeah. It doesn't seem – and I like to say, well, they're not the kind of team that would roll over and die. But until a team's down 3-0 in a World Series, you don't know how they'll respond.
Yeah, I think they would roll over and die.
I kind of think they would,
and,
too.
You know, so hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully they get the win tonight. And I think that'll tighten things up considerably, because if they win tomorrow, then all of a sudden the whole narrative changes.
I'm interested to see how the Nationals do with a guy who's not throwing as hard, if they're able to beat him up like they did the last couple guys. Greinke throws a lot slower. And when he gets like super slow, I think when he pitches under 75 or 70 miles an hour, opponents are hitting like 067 against him. Yeah. I mean, he can really take the juice out of your bat. And he's still, I mean, he's a plus with the bat.
A lot of people were saying, oh, he should be batting seventh. Look, he's not that good of a hitter. He's a good hitter for a pitcher.
Yeah. What he is, I think he's still the best defensive pitcher in the game. I mean, I think that it's a good night to have Zach Greinke out there.
Yeah, I agree. And he's got experience against these guys in a National League park. I think this is the perfect spot for him to come up with the reason you traded for him.
Yeah.
Is to go out there and win this game tonight, basically. So
I think we're back for game six.
I hope so.
I'm just being totally honest. I don't think the Astros win at this point, but I think they get it back here.
I think if it's back for game six, the Astros are winning the series.
Okay.
I that's the thing. I think so much of it's going to be, you've got to break through and get a win. And then I think, like I said, you get to game four. If you beat them then, I think you have an advantage. And if you don't, even down 3-1, if you can win two games there, I think if you come home down 3-2, you still can win the series. And they did it against the Yankees in 2017, so I think it's possible. But I just don't know that that's going to happen.
Fred, I love that music. You know what it means?
It
means we've worked really hard. We've broken rocks all week long. We're exhausted.
And
it's time for baseball.
It kind of makes me sad because...
Not me.
This is the fun part of the week for me, is doing the show. Yeah, I got to work my ass off all weekend.
So. I need like 60 hours, maybe even 70 hours before I see you again. I need a break from you.
Well, okay, fine. Be that way. I'm more than happy to take Monday and Tuesday off if you want to give me some
more
time.
I'll need you back on Monday.
Damn it.
Not before then.
All right. Great job, Aaron. Decent job, Hoffman. Up until that last comment. That was okay today. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Enjoy the games all right here on the station. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.